If you would, please get your Bibles this evening, and we're going to read now a selection of passages to form a biblical basis for the subject that we'll be considering tonight, and that is the subject of really that overall subject we've been looking at, the glory of our triune God, but particularly tonight, the Trinity and prayer. How does the glory of our triune God inform, shape, undergird, provide the basis for how we pray? And so I want us to begin back in the book of Psalms, just two verses, and then we're going to skip forward into the New Testament, mostly in the Gospels, one passage in the book of Romans, just reading a few passages together, and then I'll be giving a few more as we're going along in the message tonight. But let's turn to Psalm 2, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 2, verses 7 and 8. And let's give our careful hearing again tonight to the reading of God's holy word. Psalm 2, 7 and 8. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession." And now turn forward to the Gospel of John. John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verses 25 and 26. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. And now turn to Luke 22. Luke chapter 22, turn back, verses 31 and 32. That was Jesus praying in John 17. This is Jesus speaking in Luke 22. Again, verses 31 and 32. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. And now turn forward to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And let's turn now finally to John 16, back to the Gospel of John. John 16, verses 23 and 24. Again, Jesus teaching his disciples. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Please bow with me briefly in prayer. Father, we ask now that as we consider you and the Son and the Spirit, that this might be profitable as we think of our relationship and communication with you. Teach us to pray. And please give us and build in us and convince us of the confidence that we can have in prayer. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Prayer is a fundamental matter of the Christian life. I think it can be said without really much qualification at all that a mark of a true Christian is that they pray. Now, that doesn't mean at all, and I want to also give you comfort there, it doesn't mean at all that every Christian prays the same. It doesn't mean that every one of us tonight can grow in our understanding of prayer. We could pray better than we do. It doesn't mean we've arrived. It doesn't mean that each of us is comfortable in every circumstance praying like other people might be comfortable. But in the heart of every true Christian, there is a dialogue going on with God. It might be very feeble. At times it can be very weak. It might wane and at times be dim, but every true believer is in a relationship with God, and therefore, if you're in a relationship, then communication is going on. Again, even though it might be weak, communication is going on at some level. But too often, when we think about prayer, we jump right to the practice of prayer without considering first the foundation of it. We want to pray better. We want to learn to pray. But we often don't take time to look at, well, what actually undergirds prayer? How is prayer even possible? And therefore, this evening, as we consider the subject of prayer, and particularly in light of the Trinity, we have to start first with the triune God Himself. Because before there can be any prayer between man and God, there must be prayer between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so let's first consider this evening prayer in the Trinity, or a praying God. I think one of the most striking things that we can think about in relation to prayer in the Trinity is that prayer takes place within the Trinity. In other words, in the Bible we see both the Son and the Spirit praying to the Father. Luke 10, verse 12, in that same hour He, Jesus, rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. John 11, 41 and 42. So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. There is Jesus in the Spirit praying to the Father. Even more specifically, the Father calls on the Son. He asks the Son to pray to Him. That was what we just read in Psalm 2 this evening. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession." The Father says to the Son, "Pray, call on me, ask of me." We are told that God the Son, Jesus as high priest of his people, prays to the Father for us. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. That's us. He's able to save us. Those who draw near to God through him sense he's able to save us because he always lives to make intercession for them. He's able to save us because he's always praying for us. Luke 22, we just read that passage. 31 and 32, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail." And we are told that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't even know what to pray. We don't know how to pray. Romans 8, we read it just a moment ago. "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he searches, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes, prays for the saints according to the will of God." In other words, before we even begin to talk about ourselves praying to God, we need to stop and realize that our God is a praying God. And as we will hopefully see, we actually pray because he prays. We pray on the basis of the prayers that go on. We pray on the basis of the prayers that go on between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is, all true prayer must be based on the fact that the Trinity, the triune God, prays. But before we leave this point, there's another matter that should be mentioned, and it's something that Carl Truman, previous speaker at one of our Reformation Day conferences, something he brings up in a chapter he wrote on prayer in the Trinity. And Truman brings this up as a historian. I mean, that's his trade. He's a historian, a church historian. And as a historian, he notes that much of what drove the Trinitarian debates of the early church was actually very practical, personal matters. In other words, the debates over the Trinity were not, first and foremost, philosophical debates. We often hear terminology thrown around concerning the doctrine of the Trinity, and we think that they must have just been splitting hairs philosophically. The doctrine of the Trinity was not a matter, like we often say, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. Something that seems to us to have absolutely no practical application to our lives. No, the matters at stake were questions that flowed from how believers had always understood their salvation. The issues of the debates of the Trinity flowed from how the church had always worshipped. In fact, the debates flowed from how the church, how we as believers could ever have confidence when we pray. I want you to think about that just for a minute. Think about your salvation for a moment. If Jesus is not fully God and fully man, then how can He be a perfect mediator? How could He be one who is both God and man, who could put His hand on both, and thus able to reconcile us to the Father? You see, in the debates about the Trinity, salvation was at stake. Think about worship. If Jesus and the Holy Spirit are not co-equal with the Father, then how can we call on them by the divine one name, as we do in our baptisms, in the name of, singularly, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? The church had always been worshiping Jesus and the Spirit as God. And so worship was at stake. And now think about prayer for a minute. If Jesus is not one with God the Father, in other words, of the same being, the same essence as the Father, then He would not share the same divine will as the Father. And therefore, how could we have an absolute confidence that when Jesus prays for us, He's actually praying in accord with the will of God? You see, prayer was at stake. See, these are not matters of mere proof texting, as if we're trying to show in some abstract way that Jesus really is God. These are matters of practical concern that our whole faith and our whole life as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ depend on. These are the things that comprise our entire comfort and consolation as believers. And this is why the church fought tooth and nail against the anti-Trinitarians. If God was not triune, we are without hope in the world. If God is not triune, we have no salvation. If God is not triune, we have no comfort. But since Jesus is co-equally God with the Father, and since, think about things like this, since God's will, for instance, is that we will be, God's will for you is that you will be sanctified. That is the will of God. Then when Jesus prays to the Father, that the Father would sanctify us, as He does in John 17, sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. We know we will be sanctified. There can be no question that will happen, because that is the will of God. Our sanctification is the Father's will. Our sanctification is the Son's prayer. Our sanctification is the Holy Spirit's work. They all want exactly the same thing, because they all have the same one will, because they all are the one living and true God. So these are deep things. They are precious. While they're deep things, they are precious and practical truths. These are matters that come right down to our lives today. Real prayer is absolutely dependent on the fact that God is triune, and that the triune God prays. Now, having considered prayer in the Trinity and God who prays, let's then consider next prayer to the Trinity. Prayer to the Trinity or praying to God. This is a massive subject. Many books have been written on prayer. And so I can only note a couple things for us here this evening. And even these things will be broad, but I hope suggestive, and I hope they will help us grow and learn to be more biblical prayers, that we pray more biblically. Remember that we all need, and I hope that as we sit here tonight, not one of us thinks we've arrived with prayer, that we all need to grow in how we pray. We all need to keep learning, and that we will until the end of our life. It's a lifelong pursuit. But the first thing that needs to be taken from this tonight is that our prayers need to become, and let me just emphasize this and push this to you, our prayers need to become much more self-consciously Trinitarian. In other words, they need to more clearly be shaped. Our prayers need to be more clearly shaped by the revelation that God is triune. Now there is some of you maybe have entered into it on occasion, there's a healthy debate and discussion out there concerning whether or not it is right to pray to each member of the Trinity. In other words, is it okay to pray to Jesus? Is it okay to pray to the Holy Spirit? But if we let the Bible shape our prayers, and the revelation of God in Scripture, there will be some times when we will directly address the various persons of the Godhead. We will pray to the Son. What's the last prayer in the Scriptures? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. There's a prayer directed to the Son. There are prayers that seem to be directed to the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. And yet, absolutely, predominantly, throughout the Scriptures, absolutely uncontested, is the pattern of prayer in the Bible that is to the Father, through the Son, by the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. That is the absolute predominant pattern of prayer in the Bible. It is to the Father, through the Son, by the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And there are a few specific things that flow from that pattern that is everywhere called for in Scripture. And I want to talk about those just briefly before we conclude this evening. The first thing that flows from that fact that throughout the Scriptures, the predominant pattern of prayer is to the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit, is that we need to be conscious when we are praying that we are asking the Father for things in the name of Jesus. We are coming to the Father in the name of Jesus. And this should be something that drives us with delight and expectation. We go to our Father. We go to the one who delights to hear us and to answer us. We don't come cowering in prayer. We come with some expectation as children to their Father. This is our beautiful and our glorious privilege as the children of God and the friends of Jesus. We come to our loving Father in heaven. Secondly, though, we need to make sure that we are always praying in the name of Jesus. We don't pray to the Father in His own name. We pray to the Father in the name of the Son. God has revealed Himself as triune, and we must address Him in prayer as such. And therefore, we are not to end our prayers to the Father by saying, "In your name." We must pray in the name of the Son, Jesus. You see, we can err. We can err in prayer by mindlessly saying Jesus' name at the end of our prayer. Almost like a little, like when you're reciting the alphabet and people think LMNOP is a single letter. Or LMNO, I think it is. LMNO is a single. We can err when we come to the end of our prayers and we just in an unconscious way throw out, "In Jesus' name, amen." I mean, hardly thinking about what we just said. The fact that we just invoked the name of the Son through whose blood we have access with boldness into the throne room of grace in our time of need. We can err that way, or we can err in praying like non-Trinitarians by ending our prayers without thinking about who we are and how we have been directed to call upon God in prayer. You ask of the Father in my name. You have not yet been asking in my name. From now on, ask in my name. And so let's be thinking about this when we pray. Thirdly, then, we must pray in accord with the will of God, and thus by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit primarily guides us by the light of His Word, the Bible. So we need to make sure that we know the Word and then are seeking to pray biblically and in accord with what it is, what has been revealed by the Spirit in the Word. We're promised that if we ask anything according to His will, we have it. Well, how are you going to know what His will is? Well, the Spirit has revealed the will of God in the Word. The more that we're familiar with the Word of the Spirit, the will of God and the Word, the more and more our prayers will line up with the will of God. So prayer and the Word need to be together. So the Trinity, though, must shape our prayers. But finally this evening, and just as a second small point under the point of praying to God, we need to be seeing prayer in light of the Trinity, see that it actually gives comfort and it gives confidence to us when we pray. We are coming to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit when we pray. We're coming to the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. The Son and the Spirit are not just there as cheerleaders to kind of help encourage us when we come in prayer. That's not the way that we are to think about it. But rather, they are both, the Son and the Spirit. As we pray, the Son and the Spirit are both praying for us. Those two members of the Trinity interceding for us to the Father, even while we are praying. They're both praying for us, even though we're not sure how to pray. The Son and the Spirit are praying. And that's an amazing basis upon which to cry out and pray with confidence. And I come at times, I don't know what to pray for. A circumstance happened, I don't even know what to say. But the Spirit does. And as I come before the Lord, I know the Spirit is praying. As I'm confessing to the Lord, I don't know what to pray. Spirit is interceding. As the God-man, Jesus prayed in a perfect way. as the God-man, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, prayed in a perfect way that is beautifully instructive to us. Now there are, I think we have to think about that, there are things that we know are the will of God. Think about things you know that you can pray for that are the will of God, therefore you know it will happen. Your sanctification, the spread of the kingdom of God around the world, every tribe, tongue, and nation being brought in, the salvation of our children, the promises of God to us and our children. Each of those have promises attached to them that we can take to the Lord in prayer. But every one of us knows of the matters that we don't have an exact word from the Lord. We come and we pray, but we don't know things like the health of a loved one, whether or not I'll get this job, the circumstances I'm in a current trial. I don't know what the will of the Lord is in that specific circumstance. Well, in the garden, Jesus prayed to God as a man, prayed to God and left us a model of how to pray. Jesus was facing his own death, and he was facing dimensions of suffering and sin-bearing that none of us can imagine and ever will imagine. And so he prayed like a man should pray. He prayed like a perfect man should pray. Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That is inter-Trinitarian prayer. But this time, it is a prayer by the eternal Son of God, though co-equal with the Father who had taken on our humanity. He prays as a man, and he prays in accord with the will of God. He expresses the very human, the right human desire to not suffer. That's right for him to pray that as a human. That he doesn't have to suffer. And he expresses as well the very divine desire that he won't have to touch sin. That he wouldn't have to bear sin. We can't imagine that part. How repulsive to the Holy One of God to become sin. As a man, he submits his prayer to the will of God. And as God, he fully wills the same thing as the Father. He wills our salvation even at the cost of his own life. We would not know how to pray if it were not for the prayers of our triune God. We could not pray if it were not for the salvation of our triune God. The Trinity prays, and our praying must be shaped by the Trinity. And so I hope that each one of us tonight, I hope that every one of us will come again then to the Lord tonight, and like the disciples of old, we will ask him again, Lord, teach us to pray. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, holy and hallowed is your name. May your kingdom come, and may your will be done increasingly on earth, even as it is in heaven. We pray that you would conform us more to your image. Teach us to pray. Help us. Thank you, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for the comfort and confidence we have that we will be sanctified, that the world will come under the kingdom of and rule of Christ, that each one of your people will ultimately come fully and finally and be saved to the utmost. Because you, our Lord Jesus, ever live to make intercession for us. We come and we pray to you tonight. We come wanting you to not let us go, but to keep praying for us and loving us and saving us and sanctifying us. Father, we come to you and we bring these requests, coming in the name of the Son. We pray. Amen.